This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, the topic is the Educating Seniors Project of the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar of California. I want to give you a website right now, www.educatingseniors.org. My guest is Jennifer Lee Wilkerson, a certified specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law. She's chair of the Educating Seniors Project Committee. Her offices are in Grass Valley. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar. Additional funding for the program is also made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization, the Family Law section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chuck.
Very great to have you here. Tell us a little bit about what is the Educating Seniors Project all about? What's the concern? What are your goals, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure. Well, thank you, Chuck. It is a project of the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar, so it is of interest to lawyers who practice with wills and trusts and elder law in their practice areas. Can I tell you a little bit about where the Educating Seniors Project originated?
Of course, please.
Back in the late 90s, there was a group in Southern California called the Alliance for Mature Americans, and unfortunately these groups are still operating, not that one in particular. And they were selling trust forms as a loss leader to get information, financial information in particular, and then sell annuities or other financial products, and that's where the real profit lies.
Mm-hmm.
So the Attorney General sued the AMA, the Alliance for Mature Americans, and a couple of the annuity companies, and ended up settling the lawsuit, and as part of that, some funds were paid to the State Bar of California to be used for education, particularly around this important issue of financial elder abuse. So that was the origination of the Educating Seniors Project, and we're still in place. The original mission of the project was to train. We have a group of volunteer lawyers who have a presentation that we are offered to give at venues, community organizations, senior centers throughout the state. And we've improved that now with a PowerPoint presentation and some new materials. So that was our original strategy, because education is a proven strategy in addressing financial elder abuse. But we realized that with the web now, we could really expand the reach of the project by creating a website. So that's what we've done more in the last year or so, put together our excellent website.
It certainly is a very comprehensive website. On the website, if some organization anywhere in California goes to the website, www.educatingseniors.org, will they be able to find how to make contact to get someone to come and speak to their organization about this project?
You bet. There's a big purple circle which says request a speaker, and if you press on that, it'll open an email to our staff at the State Bar who can match up a local attorney in your area, or there's a phone number as well.
Mm-hmm. Very good. What does financial elder abuse look like?
Yeah, let's just talk about some of those situations. I've already described the one where financial products may be sold inappropriately without regard to the high-risk nature of the products. And that is a form of financial elder abuse. What we've learned is the primary perpetrators of financial elder abuse are family members by far, followed by caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much an internal, close at hand situation. We see care providers, because all of us want to stay in our own homes as long as possible, so we may need assistance from others. We may hire someone to help with housekeeping or what other kinds of needs, personal care issues, making meals. Maybe even someone offers to become our new spouse or our new best friend. And then they sort of wean their way in, and maybe they ask us to sign a power of attorney. So it's easy to take control of our bank account. And then that power gets abused, and they start stealing or charging for services they don't provide. You know, that's an example of elder abuse financially, taking advantage of an elder, a vulnerable elder. It's even more important when it's a family member. And you know, in these days, with so much financial insecurity in our world and substance abuse, you know, it may be our own child who needs to move back home or ends up taking funds for their own use and leaves a parent without adequate food or their basic needs covered.
How does an older person who may be in a situation similar to what you've just described protect him or herself? Because one of the things that I have learned, certainly in my job as a deputy DA for San Mateo County, is that frequently a parent or parents who are being taken advantage of by a child or children are very hesitant to want to contact the police or the Office of Protective, the County Protective Office for Elders. What do you do? What suggestions do you have?
Well, it does take creating a circle of trusted people in our world. It's important that we look out for our own family members and friends and neighbors and look in on them, because seniors do operate from that place of fear. They don't want to report a family member, and they don't want to have to leave their home. They know if their only care provider goes to jail, that may make them have to go someplace out of their home, which they don't want to do. It's about recognizing the fear. It's about calling on others who you trust in your world to come in and make sure you get what you need.
Is the project one where if a senior feels that he or she is becoming a victim of some kind of financial elder abuse, is the project itself something that can help a senior get some help?
Our project is very limited in scope. It's really educational in nature, and we link to other important websites which provide information. But the most important resource of all, if anyone is suspicious of elder abuse, is the Adult Protective Services. Every county social service department has, by law, an Adult Protective Services department, and that's where concerns should be reported, and that agency is really about services and resources. If law enforcement is needed to be brought in at that point, the APS social workers will involve law enforcement, but calling APS is the place to start.
And my understanding of that, although it has not been a part of my job as a deputy district attorney to work closely with Adult Protective Services, but it is my understanding that when there is an issue, there is a concern involving a senior, and the Adult Protective Services office is alerted to this, one of their social workers will actually go out to the older person's home to take a look and see what's going on.
Absolutely. They're mandated by law to do that. And the social workers that I've talked to said that even that visit can have quite an impact to shut down some abuse or potential abuse that may be starting to occur when a ne'er-do-well family member starts to see that people are going to check and keep a watch on mom and dad.
Let's take a brief break, Jennifer. All right, it's our Call a Lawyer night. We have a number of attorneys here. The number is 1-800-525-9917 in the areas of workers' compensation law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law. family law, legal malpractice law, employment law, patent law, aviation law, lemon law, and tomorrow, if you're being chased by creditors, you'll be able to talk to a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, and I'll give you that later. But it's 1-800-525-9917. If you want to talk to any one of these lawyers off the air, it's no obligation on your part whatsoever. This is a public service that these attorneys are performing. Jennifer, let's come back now. We've touched a bit on elder financial abuse. How do you what are the solutions?
Mm-hmm.
You've been with the project now for 4 years, as I understand it, and it was essentially started in 1999. What are some of the solutions that you'd like to include briefly in the minimum amount of time that we have, unfortunately, on the air?
Well, I think what we're looking ahead toward is educating the public about the need to be gatekeepers for each other. And let me mention, because I know you mentioned at the top of the hour, the lawyer referral service. While our project does not provide a direct referral to attorneys, we would refer callers to the State Bar Lawyer Referral Service line or the Legal Specialist line. So there are attorneys who work in this area of financial elder abuse, and it's important that lawyers can sometimes play a role in remedying the situation.
If you've got a caregiver who is going to, for example, is taking advantage of the person who he or she is caring for, the older person, and is going to the older person's bank and withdrawing money, what is the obligation of a bank or its employees to be monitoring and perhaps reporting something like this, or is there?
Mm-hmm. There is a group of mandated reporters by law who are required to report suspected elder abuse, and financial institutions, employees of financial institutions, are part of that group. You may have heard of situations, I certainly am aware, where our local bank tellers will refuse to allow a withdrawal if they see a suspicious circumstance until Adult Protective Services can get involved. Other mandated reporters are health professionals, care providers, social services, Meals on Wheels folks who deliver meals can be important gatekeepers to be watchful for our elders who are maybe isolated in their homes as well.
Meals on Wheels, the employees of Meals on Wheels who deliver meals to older persons, they are mandated to report something that they see as possible financial elder abuse?
I would think that a volunteer who is simply delivering meals would not be. If they're an employee of a social service organization, they may well. So mm-hmm. Perhaps the supervisor.
I see. Well, what are the things that you feel seniors can do to protect themselves?
Well, we've talked about some of them, being aware of people who are trying to sell financial products for a profit based on fear. It's so often marketing is based on fear, isn't it? That if you don't divest of some of your assets, then you may lose your home, or your family may lose their home, or you may become destitute, or you may not qualify for Medi-Cal services. So just when we hear those kinds of devastating forecasts, then we want to be mindful of that. Get another opinion. Ask a friend or a trusted advisor before getting involved in a financial situation with someone who comes to the door. Don't mm-hmm. ever answer the door.
Right.
That's one of the reasons that seniors are so vulnerable, is that they're home.
Yeah.
And the scammers who are going door to door find them at home more often.
I thought this was very interesting on the Educating Seniors Project website. In the very first part of it, facts about elder financial abuse. The average age of an investment fraud victim is 69 years of age. The second part is 90% of abusers are family members and caretakers. Mm-hmm. Three, and this I think is very, very alarming, in 2010, and this is a statistic from 2010, elderly victims lost at least $2.9 billion, B as in boy, billion dollars in financial exploitation. And I know that AARP has done some studies like that that show very significant amounts of money of older persons who have been victimized.
And other risk factors are seniors who live alone, and women tend to be victims more than men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can happen to anyone. I don't know if you're aware of the Mickey Rooney situation in the last few years before he died. They ended up settling his case for $2.8 million damages for financial elder abuse. His stepson had taken advantage of Mr. Rooney, and he ended up being a real advocate for this issue and testifying before Congress. So no one is exempt from the risk.
How is elder abuse discovered?
Well, that's an interesting situation that I have read about. Is most often when we think of physical abuse and neglect, that is most often discovered by healthcare professionals, nurses, doctors at a healthcare visit, but financial elder abuse is most often discovered and reported by family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
So we really are the watchful eyes for one another. And there's another vulnerable group. We've been talking about elder abuse, and that's defined in the law as someone who is 65 or over, or a dependent adult. So a dependent adult is someone who may have mental or physical limitations that render them dependent on others, and they also qualify as this protected class under the law.
Mm-hmm.
And there's both a civil law of protecting elders and dependent adults. That's in the Welfare and Institution Code, and it says that someone who takes an elder's property for a wrongful use with intent to defraud or by undue influence, that's the definition of financial elder abuse, or someone who assists another in taking property of an elder for a wrongful purpose. Then there's a separate criminal statute in the penal code, which is that all the financial crimes that we hear about, theft, embezzlement, and so forth, there are increased penalties when those financial crimes are committed against an elder.
And this is also, if there is a criminal prosecution, there is the potential of serving time, certainly in no less than a county jail or perhaps state prison.
You would know that better than I.
Yeah, no, there is. If you can, if a DA's office looks at this after an investigation is conducted and believes that a criminal prosecution should be done, that is what may well happen. That whoever is the person who's ripping off the elder may well face time behind bars. What I'd like to do is, I want to give people an opportunity to realize that those of you who are listening to us live, whether it's in the Bay Area or on the Internet at www.klw.org, you will have a chance to call in on the air in just a few minutes in the second half hour of the program. So please be aware that you can do this, and I will be giving that phone number out very shortly. For those of you who may have just joined us, yeah, and maybe a little bit late, let me tell you who my guest is. By the way, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. My guest is Jennifer Lee Wilkerson. She's a certified specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law. She is the chair of the Educating Seniors Project Committee, which is a project of the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar. It is our Call a Lawyer night also, and we have a number of people here. I'll let you know who they are in the second half hour of the program. But the topics that are covered tonight by our lawyers off the air at 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. This is a public service they are performing. No obligation on your part when you speak with any one of them. The areas are workers' compensation law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, legal malpractice law, employment law, patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB arbitration. And I will let you know who those attorneys are. And tomorrow, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be happy to talk with you on his 800 number tomorrow morning, Thursday, February 19th, between 8 a.m. and noon. But right now, the Call a Lawyer is 1-800-525-9917. In a few minutes, if you'd like, you can call in on the air 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. Jennifer, we have a few minutes left in the statewide version of the program. I want to make sure that those things that you feel are critical with respect to the Educating Seniors Project are covered. And again, I want to emphasize to all of you that the website, it's very simple to get to it, www.educatingseniors.org. You can go to that, and I highly recommend, frankly, that you look at it carefully. If either you are trying to care for an older person, or let's say you're an older person and you want to find out more about how you can protect yourself, this is a very fine website with a lot of information that I think you will find very helpful. What other things would you like to include in the balance of the statewide version, Jennifer?
Well, I think it's important. You were asking what can seniors do, and you know, the most important thing seniors can do is plan ahead and think ahead to what your needs will be and work with quality professionals. Do your estate planning documents while you have capacity. Think about who is the right person to make decisions for you if you're incapacitated, and do some good, strong powers of attorney. Do your will or your trust or whatever needs to be done while you are in a good frame of mind and not at a point when you may be vulnerable and subject to undue influence.
And certainly I want to recommend to the listeners that if you are looking for a certified specialist in estate planning, the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar has a statewide number. Let me give that to you, 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100. There is also the website for the State Bar where you can go to legal specialists and in your geographic area, and it'll tell you who the certified specialists are. For example, there are 11 specialties certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. But let me give you the website so that you can, if you wish, find out who your certified specialists are, whether it's an estate planner or one of the other 11. There are 10 others. www.calbar.ca.gov. And then to the left of your screen, go to the area that says Legal Specialist. Click that on, and you'll be able to find out in your geographic area who the certified specialists are. But go ahead, Jennifer. What else would you like to let the listener know about?
Add that the General State Bar of California website has a public area with a lot of information, a lot of pamphlets, a Seniors in the Law pamphlet. There's pamphlets on do I need a will, do I need a trust, what should I know about elder abuse. For very simple matters, there is a California statutory will form, a fill-in-the-blanks will, that is also on the State Bar website. So there are a lot of resources there for anyone who needs it. And back to our financial elder abuse, watching out for each other, really we want to always support the organizations in our communities which protect seniors. In my community, there's a friendly visitor program. There's the Meals on Wheels programs. It's important that those are fully funded and supported because they're the ones, the eyes and ears of who's watching out for our, especially the isolated seniors who are may not be able to get out.
If someone is isolated but yet is still independent, does not necessarily have a caregiver who comes in at the time, what recommendations do you have for someone who is living by himself or herself, still independent, but doesn't have a caregiver? What suggestions do you make? You've just talked about setting up your trust, your will, your power of attorney, et cetera. But is there anything else that they should be thinking about in protecting themselves for the future?
Well, I really think about creating the team who would be there if I need them. If a senior has a fall and wasn't able to get out, who would they call on to get groceries for them? And really creating your circle of trusted folks so that you're not not in a pinch looking for someone, and get to know your neighbors.
Yeah, and hopefully have your neighbors who are looking out for you. At least we would hope that would be the situation. We have about 2 minutes left.
And use reputable agencies when you do need folks. You know, there are a lot of fly-by-night or unlicensed contractors who are scammers, along with some of the other types of scams that we all know about, the lottery scams and the grandchild in Mexico scam. So really, it's worth, you get what you pay for, and use reputable firms that often we get a referral or recommendation from other friends and families, or our trusted advisors, our tax preparers often are good resources to link up with trusted folks in our world.
Can you get any kind of valuable information from your bank as to where you might go to have someone there to help if you need it, or is that not something that banks have gotten into at this point?
I'm not aware that banks are, but Adult Protective Services is really the repository for those kinds of services. And most counties also, I think all counties have to have an information and referral service, so that would be another resource.
So that's very, very valuable. Start with the Adult Protective Services and find out what's out there that may help you. We have, at this point, Jennifer, come to the end of the statewide version of the program. For those listeners who listen to us live in the Bay Area, live on the Internet at www.klw.org, we will continue another half hour. All right, it is 7:28 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KALW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're talking about the Educating Seniors Project of the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar of California. My guest is Jennifer Lee Wilkerson, a certified specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law. She's chair of the Educating Seniors Project Committee. Her office is in Grass Valley. If you would like to call in and speak with her, and Jennifer, you're willing to take, I would assume, any question in the area of estate planning, trust, or probate law, or are you?
Sure.
Okay. Pardon me. So the number is 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. Also, I want to remind you that it is also our Call a Lawyer night. It is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Let me tell you who is here. Workers' Compensation Law, Alice O'Sullivan, Certified Specialist, former Chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Criminal Law, Jeff Hayden, a Certified Specialist. Estate Planning, Trust, and Probate Law, Catherine Ray Wong, also a Certified Specialist. Family Law, I think she's here, Janet Lee Frankel, a Certified Specialist. Legal Malpractice Law, Peter Fortune, a Certified Specialist. Employment Law, Ellen Mendelson. Patent Law, Aviation Law, Lemon Law, BBB Arbitration, Ron Rohde. And tomorrow, if you're being chased by creditors, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available. That's tomorrow, Thursday, February 19th, from 8 a.m. to noon at his 800 number, if you'd like to jot this down. 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call and the line is busy, but you can leave a message, give your name and phone number, and tell him you're a listener of Your Legal Rights on KALW, and he will call you back. So there you are. All right, let's start with our first caller. It's Sanjeev. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good evening. So I had a question about a living trust. Me and my wife have a living trust, and I'm a U.S. citizen, and my wife is a Canadian citizen. And I understand that, you know, say I were to pass out first, then a certain amount of money gets put in a trust because my wife is not a U.S. citizen. And the reason we have, she's not a U.S. citizen because she may consider just moving back to Canada and then not have any of the hassles of, you know, constantly filing a U.S. Tax return and then also dealing with estate taxes. Is this a wise decision of a part, or is the fact that we have to do this funny trust after I pass away kind of negates all of this anyway?
Well, what you're referring to is what we call a QDOT, a Qualified Domestic Trust, and it's really having to do with tax issues where the U.S. taxing authority wants to make sure they get their estate taxes before your wife takes the money and goes back to Canada with it. So they insist if something happened to you that the funds be held in a Qualified Domestic Trust with a U.S. trustee. And it's really a tax decision if you want to avoid paying estate taxes. So
basically, I understand there is a 5.3 or some kind of estate tax.
This year, in 2015, each individual, each U.S. citizen can have $5,430,000 exempt from estate tax.
So then that would put that amount, $5.4 million, into this domestic trust, that is, which is my deduction, so that my wife doesn't run away with anything over that, or half of over that, or what do they do?
I mean, well, the first $5.430 million should be exempt, so it's only the amount, I would think it's only the amount over that that might be going to your spouse, so... This is
okay, so that's the amount they would hold it in the trust.
Planning. I see.
Where do you live?
California.
No, I know you live in California, but what county?
Oh, Alameda.
You're in Alameda County. Let me mention something to you, Sanjeev, and anyone else, because obviously you have some significant issues. It sounds like you have not gone to an attorney. Is that correct?
Well, my living trust was actually created by the attorney, but then that attorney has actually moved on to some other company, and so we are thinking of going to another lawyer, but I was trying to decide about this whole U.S. citizenship.
Let me suggest that you might want to contact the California Board of Legal Specialization and find out who the certified specialist in estate planning may be in your area, and then figure out who you want to go to. Let me give you the phone number, and then I'm going to give you the website, 415-538-2100.
Okay.
And if you go to the website, www.calbar.ca.gov, and then go to the left side of your screen, you'll see the words legal specialist. You can click that on and then find for Alameda County who the certified specialists are. I really feel it's important for you with the, apparently the issues that you are concerned about to get some face-to-face advice from an attorney. So good luck to you, and thank you very much for calling. I'll also give you the Alameda County Bar Association lawyer referral number. You might want to contact them also. It's 510-302-2222.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sanjeev, very much for
thank
calling.
You.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, Mike.
The number for calling on the air and speaking with my guest, Jennifer Lee Wilkerson, a certified specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law, is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. Also, everyone, it is Call a Lawyer Night, and that number is 1-800-525-9917. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco as well as Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, San Mateo County also has a Bar Association and a lawyer referral service. That's the San Mateo County Bar Association. That's 650-369-4149. 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone for you. This is a very fine public service program where they'll set you up for a half an hour consultation with an attorney who's experienced in the area. With minor exception for that half an hour, you will be charged somewhere between $25 to $35. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to support the service as it is a very outstanding public service. So I hope you don't need it, but there it is if you want it. So let me give one further thing for those of you in the Bay Area who may be interested. The San Mateo County Law Library will have Thursday, March 5th, a presentation on how to collect on your court judgment. David Cook is the speaker. He's an attorney, a longtime enforcement and collection lawyer. He's the author of the Debt Collector's Handbook, which is published by the American Bar Association. He will be telling you how to find assets and where to find the treasure map to go to the assets if you have a judgment but you don't know how to collect on it. This is a free presentation at noon on Thursday, March 5th. You can bring your sack lunch. The Law Library, San Mateo County Law Library, is located at 710 Hamilton Street in Redwood City, across the street from the Hall of Justice. If you would like more information, the number is 650-363-4913. 650-363-4913. Now, I want to encourage you, if you have a question about estate planning, trusts, or probate law, please take advantage of the fact that my guest, Jennifer Lee Wilkerson, is a certified specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law. If you are someone who is taking care of an older person, if you are an older person and have some concerns about the way you're being cared for, the lack of care or whatever, please join us. 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. We have about 20 minutes left in the program. Please don't wait until the last 3 or 4 minutes because then you won't be able to talk to my guest. So I hope you will take advantage of this. While we're waiting for the next caller, Jennifer, anything occur to you that you'd like to come forward with?
Well, yes, Chuck. You've been sharing lots of resources for how to find a lawyer. Let's talk about what a lawyer might be able to help with in a financial elder abuse situation.
Sure, please.
You mentioned before the criminal penalties, and frankly, in my experience, these cases are difficult to prosecute, so not a lot of them do get prosecuted through the criminal system. Very often the elder victim will, like you say, not be willing to prosecute, or tracing the financial theft involves a lot of forensic accounting and document work that district attorney's offices often aren't prepared to work with very easily. So civil attorneys may end up being called upon to have an impact in these situations. We talked about even just the visit from Adult Protective Services can have an impact. Similarly, a demand letter written by a lawyer can really calm down the situation and stop the potential abuse situation. or a lawyer may be able to rescind a contract and get your money back, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very often, you were just talking about collecting a judgment. You know, even if a lawyer gets a judgment against the care provider or a family member who has stolen money, it's a judgment, it's a piece of paper, and very often they stole because they have financial insecurity, and it may not be something that there's a lot there to collect. But we can often stop future abuse from happening,
mm-hmm.
and create the systems to protect the seniors' finances and stop the access to the accounts, get the accounts moved to where there can be no more embezzlement, for example. So we can often, when there isn't money to collect, it may be that can be worked out possibly through mediation, where the money that was stolen reduces the inherited share of mm-hmm. the person who took it. So there are lots of options and remedies where an attorney may be helpful, but most important is to stop the abuse as soon as possible.
All right. Robin, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead.
This is a little bit of a side topic, but to what you've been talking about. But we have a neighbor who is quite elderly. She lives alone in a big old house. She lived there with her husband for, I don't know, 40 or 50 years, and he passed away a few years ago. And she's now, giving kind of memory loss and things, and neighbors, several of us have been helping her by bringing her groceries, and then she gives us a check or whatever. And but the thing is, she's not willing to really, go to the senior center for meals, take meals and wheels, do any kind of thing except, she'll take our generosity. But she seems to be going out less and less, and her family all live, like his brothers who live, I don't know, other parts of the country. She has like a in-law of an in-law who lives nearby, and that's the only thing.
What are you trying to get to, Robin? What is your question?
My question is just what either suggestions about how we might have her accept help, or even what legally, I think adult services went by, but they won't really do anything because
She does not have a caregiver who comes there regularly, Robin?
Not at all.
So you and other neighborhood neighbors are going out and getting her groceries, etc. So you're wondering what can be done to have this little lady in a situation that is more secure, where she is better protected, other than just being on her own. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Let me get Jennifer to respond to that. And Robin, if you'll turn your radio back up, thanks for calling. I'm sure that this is not an unusual situation, Jennifer.
Very, very true. Especially when the family members live out of town, it may be something of an intervention where we bring the family members around, possibly involve her doctor. The doctor may be able to order a home visit
mm-hmm.
by a social service agency and really have some other professionals intervene to try to create a safer situation.
In a situation like this that Robin described, would also one of the avenues be to contact Adult Protective Services and see if they may have some thought of coming out and talking to the elderly lady and kind of getting a feeling of what might be helpful to her, or is that just asking too much?
Well, I think I heard Robin mention that Adult Services had come by, and
mm-hmm.
it's true there if there wasn't seen to be a sufficient risk, they may not open a case, but they may be a resource for other agencies
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
can be privately arranged by family members, even from a distance.
Mm-hmm. So I hope, Robin, you heard that, to contact Adult Protective Services and see if you can't get some further information from them that may be helpful. So thank you very much for calling. Lucretia, welcome to the program.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. My question is, how do I start? I have a godmother. Well, she doesn't have children, doesn't have family, but she has a lot of friends, people that she meets. She's on the list to get a kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And what my issue is, or concern is, that if she doesn't have friends, that it's a real serious issue, and they're expecting for her friends and family to care for her. She lost her home, and she lives in a crowded one-bedroom apartment it's basically stuff that she's had in a to downsize from a big house. So there's no way where for the people to even care for her. Is there any resources, or how would I go about helping her to get protected and to help get finance for her housing? She's paying storage, and she's just no money and no help. And she doesn't have a will, trust, or anything like that.
Well, let me ask you to turn your radio back up, Lucretia, and get Jennifer to make some comments on this at this point. Thank you.
Yeah, with Lucretia, I really feel your compassion for your friend. Thank you very much. And, you know, estate planning is probably not the highest priority for her, because estate planning is for assets anyway. But having her really designate a trusted agent on a power of attorney that may be needed to step in. And again, there are resources on the website. There are county agencies listed. Sounds like she has a lot of needs, medical needs, mm-hmm. housing needs,
yeah.
financial assistance. And you know, we don't live in a perfect world, but I'm hopeful that you can find some resources for her.
When you say that she may be able to find some resources, where would she go on this? Would she find on the Educating Seniors Project website some references there, or what, Jennifer?
Well, on the Educating Seniors website, which is www.educatingseniors.org, we do have a resources page, and there is a link for useful website.
Mm-hmm. All
which
right.
could take you to some service organizations.
Yeah, Lucretia, let me repeat that for you again in case you didn't get it. The website is www.educatingseniors.org. All right, let's see who... Oh, let me... Also, I can see a couple of attorneys who are not on phones right now, and I'd like them to be on the phones with any one of you. So the number for Call a Lawyer is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. If you'd like to call in and speak with my guests, Jennifer Lee Wilkerson, a certified specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law, that number is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. And Joanne, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
This is a question about a durable power of attorney for finances. My father died 2 years ago. My mother had died 10 years prior to that. They had a trust and durable power of attorneys for health care and finances. When my father died, we took the durable power of attorney of finances to his bank, and they wouldn't honor it. They said, we don't honor this form. So how can a person, and ultimately we found a solution for it, but how can any person make one of these out and know that, you know, 10, 20 years from now, or 5 years or a year from now, whenever they die, that it will be honored?
Well, thank you for the question and letting me clarify, because this is a common misunderstanding that a durable power of attorney is only valid if you are living and incapacitated, and it expires at death, and that's when the will picks up from there, the will and the trust. So the bank was correct in not honoring the power of attorney for a deceased person, and hopefully they asked, can I see the will or the
trust if the bank account were properly titled in a trust?
It's only valid if the person is living.
Correct. A durable power of attorney expires at death.
Is that true also for a durable power of attorney for health care?
Correct. But with the exception that the Advanced Health Care Directive includes some post-death authority to authorize an autopsy and direct the disposition of the remains.
So then back to the finances, then what...
Was there a will that you can rely on?
Oh, yeah, he had a trust, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the relevant documents.
Yeah.
For the finances.
Did you get an attorney to help you, Joanne, with this at the death of
No,
your
the
parent?
Bank suggested another solution.
Oh,
so
there was a solution?
There was a solution.
Is there still very
surprised, and my brother was too. So that's great clarification.
Is the trust still in existence?
No.
Oh,
no,
so the trust is no longer in existence. Well, thank you very much for calling, Joanne.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. All right. Let me see. We've got, at this point, 1-800-525-9917 for Call a Lawyer. I now see that the lawyers in the conference room are answering phones. So, again, 1-800-525-9917. Again, if you'd like to speak with Jennifer Lee Wilkerson, it's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. Jennifer, we've got about 6 minutes left in the program. What other thoughts may have come to you that you wanted to even touch upon so that we can include these?
Right. Well, let's talk about what the future holds. This is an issue, thankfully, that is getting some attention back in Washington, the issue of financial elder abuse. The Department of Justice, the Federal Department of Justice, has created its own elder justice website. And I was just on there. You can plug in your zip code and get a list of their, basically the law enforcement agencies in your area to report financial elder abuse. I've also seen reference that we mentioned that financial institutions, banks in particular, are mandated reporters, but currently that doesn't extend to stockbrokers and financial advisors. So I understand SEC is looking at how financial advisors at investment firms can join and be gatekeepers for financial elder abuse suspicious activities and be able to explore transactions in suspicious situations.
Certainly it's needed.
Yes.
Yeah,
so glad to see that it's getting some attention. You know, we have a greater move with the Consumer Protection Act also in the last couple of years that there's been federal legislation to see the need for helping consumers with these important issues. Financial elder abuse in particular, you know, we're an aging population, and the situation is only going to increase in terms of the numbers. And as I see it, we're really going to need to have some new models of care for the baby boomer generation. There aren't enough individual care providers for all of us, and I can see we're going to be looking at new ways to share pool resources and share the limited care resources that are going to be available.
Well, I think that really certainly is very important for us to do, and I think that if someone has not been to and tell me how you feel about this. If someone has the means to seek some legal advice but hasn't been to an attorney in a long time, and maybe there's a trust there, maybe there's a will, but it's old, maybe several years old, etc., What recommendations do you have for someone to try to get an update and have a at least a current visit to an attorney, or is that going too far?
I recommend to my clients that we look at all estate planning as the 5-year plan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In 5 years, pull it out of the drawer and look at it.
Yeah.
See if the situation is still the same. The durable powers of attorney in particular get stale after a few years. Title mm-hmm. companies refuse to accept them only a couple of years old. So
really?
Those we really need mm. to run a new one, sign a new one, and keep those documents current.
Well, that's very good suggestions for people. Also, I think, as we've touched upon it several times now, for those people who are concerned that someone may be a potential victim of elder abuse or maybe physical abuse, elder financial abuse or elder physical abuse, certainly your local county adult protective services office is a great resource, and I highly recommend it. Years ago, there was a woman who was supposedly contacted by an attorney for the Canadian Lottery, telling her she had won $500,000, Jennifer, and all she had to do is pay the taxes ahead of time, and that was going to be $100,000. She had two credit cards that would do the job, and she did it.
Mm-hmm.
And some friend of hers found out about this and actually happened to meet the Marin County District Attorney on a boat ride in the Bay Area, told about that, and the DA said, well, you better call the San Mateo County DA's office and have them look into this. We did. We were able to contact this little lady who lived in Hillsboro, and she was in the process. She wanted to refinance her house because the attorney in the meantime, so-called attorney in the meantime, had called her back to tell her she had won $1 million. So she owed another $100,000. We were able to stop that, fortunately. Closing comments, do you have in the last minute?
And in that situation, of course, the reason they were out of the country is because they're beyond the jurisdiction law enforcement. So law enforcement is there to help. Adult Protective Services is there to help. But more than anything, we're all needed to watch out for each other.
We certainly are. I want to thank you very much for joining us on the program. My guest has been Jennifer Lee Wilkerson. She's a certified specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law. She's chair of the Educating Seniors Project Committee. Her offices are in Grass Valley. The website, again, for the Educating Seniors Project is www.educatingseniors.org. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for joining us.
Thank you, Chuck, for letting us get the word out about
it's very important
project.
Very, very important. Next week, everybody, if you're working on your 2014 income tax returns, you're going to have a chance to talk to CPAs off the air. It's our Call a CPA night, which we do yearly. So that's next week, February 25th. And if you want to call in to CPAs Off the Air, again, public service, 1-800-525-9917. On the air, my guest will be David Hellman, a certified specialist in taxation law and a CPA. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the Trusts and Estates section of the State Bar. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. I thank you very much for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.